Well, I've got a blessing out of being here, and I've sang more new songs that I've never sung before in this church. So I'm sitting there mumbling like I know what I'm saying. I don't know what I'm doing. But I'm learning. I'm learning. Maybe next time I'll know them. But it's good that you sing such a variety of songs. Praise the Lord. So how do you know if a redneck is married? There's tobacco stains on both sides of the truck. Amen. Well, you got to figure it out. I got to have at least one of them being from Tennessee, you know? All right. Open your Bibles tonight to Proverbs chapter 8. I have enjoyed this week. It has filled my cup. You know, I do believe that the Lord will give you as much as you want. You come in here with a thimble, He'll fill a thimble. Come in here with a little bucket, He'll fill your bucket. Come in here with a barrel, He'll fill your barrel. I mean, God will give you what you're looking for if you're doing it in His will. Amen? And you know it's His will to fill you up. Proverbs chapter 8, look with me if you would, at verse 5. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Father, I ask tonight that you'd fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit and give me the unction from on high that's necessary to proclaim your word boldly and truly. And I pray, Lord, that your people have already tilled the soil of their heart, because we know, Lord, if there's a problem, it's not with the seed. It's with the soil. And I pray, Lord, that it's ready to receive tonight so that we might be conformed to the image of your Son and be in the center of your perfect will. You are holy. You are without blame. You are perfect. You are eternal. You've given us everything we need to have a successful life in Christ. I pray, Lord, that we would use it tonight for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ, for it's in his name we ask it. Amen. The simple, the fool, and the wise, children, are spoken of in the book of Proverbs. The simple, the fool, and the wise. And I think we all want to be known as wise. I would hope we all want to be known as wise, and not the simple and not the fool. But the title of this message is The Fact of the Matter. The Fact of the Matter. And I'm going to liken these three children that we read about in Scripture unto different phases of matter, as far as gases, liquids, and solids. The fact of the matter. And the first one we're going to look at is the gaseous Christian. The one that none of us want to be around. Point number one about the gaseous Christian, he's usually invisible. He's hardest to recognize because he likes to go undercover. They are invisible to the majority of the workplace, to the family, to neighbors, and to friends. Turn your Bible, if you would, to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Point number one, they are usually invisible. These are the properties of gases. John chapter 12 and verse 42. The Bible says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. That next word, but. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. That's the guy that at work will laugh at the dirty jokes in order to fit in with the guys at work, you know, going to the same places as he used to go when he was lost, watching the same movies as he used to watch when he was lost, not bowing his head to pray in public because he doesn't want to identify himself. He's undercover. He's invisible. He doesn't want to be known. Just like Nicodemus. When did he come? Nicodemus came at night. He didn't want to be put out of the synagogue. The opposite Jairus, who we read about the other night, came in the broad of day. Nicodemus came at night. Joseph of Arimathea also did not come forth at the beginning for fear of the Jews. They just don't want to be known. Peter at the fire. You know, remember Peter at the fire? And they said, your speech bewrayeth thee. What was the speech that bewrayeth thee? You know what I believe? I believe he was not cussing like all the rest of the guys. He was not cussing like all the rest of the guys. And he was talking like a normal human being. And all of a sudden they say, hey, your speech is giving you away. Then he started cursing and swearing in order to fit in. Undercover. Undercover. It's the praise of men is usually the cause for Christian hibernation. That's why, I mean, I know some people that have told me, I said, why do you go to that church when you know that there's a Bible-believing church right down the road that you could be going to, but you choose to go to that church, it's a Baptist church, but it's got 2,000 members in there. Why do you go there instead of a place like this? And they were honest with me, because I can hide there. Nobody knows when I'm coming. Nobody knows when I'm going. When I miss, nobody cares. But in a place like this, people walk up to you and say, where were you? They fly underneath the radar, remaining invisible, like Jonah stowing away in the belly of a boat. We want the blessings of salvation without the responsibility. Invisible, usually invisible. Number two, the characteristic of a gas, it's free to travel where it wants to go. Even within its own container, it's free to travel wherever it wants to. It's a free spirit. No one's going to tell me what to do. I will come when I want, I'll go where I want, and I'll do what I want. Just like Judas. Judas was fine sitting there at the Last Supper. He had no problem with it. Judas had no problem hanging out with the disciples, but no one was going to tell him what to do. He was going to do what he wanted to do, and he did. And it cost him. Even in this container called Blessed Hope Baptist Church, some Christians can still do whatever they want to and not be under anyone's authority. You mean to say we could have rebels in this church? Acts chapter 20 says, men will arise from among you. Amen. Yeah, not just wolves enter in, men will arise from among you. Yeah, you can have rebels right inside the church. They're the gaseous ones. Just look out for them, amen? They have the least molecular density. In other words, they want the least amount of contact with other Christians. They want to be able to, again, do their own thing, go their own way. And if you're sitting there right now and comparing these things to your Christian life, that's a good thing. The Bible says, let a man examine himself whether he be in the faith, except he be reprobate. Examine yourself. As we're going through these, compare them to your life. I mean, how much time do I like to spend with Christians? I mean, yeah, I'll spend time in church, but outside of church, I really don't care to be around any of them. That might tell you something. The third characteristic of the gas, it has no definite shape. No definite shape. It's the easiest to press out of shape. In other words, they're the easiest to offend. And the Bible tells us, great peace have they which love thy law, and just some things shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. The gaseous Christian is easily pressed out of shape because the particles are the least dense. The invisible Christian that desires to remain unnoticed for Christ is a fool. The Christian that goes where they want, does what they want, regardless, is a fool. The Christian that has an indefinite shape so that they don't know where they stand is a fool. So my question to you, my question to myself is, are you a gaseous Christian? The Bible says that many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. You know, Christian, we need to examine ourselves. This is a revival. This is time for us to examine ourselves. To revive something means it was alive at one time and it needs to be made alive again. And there may be some aspect, you may be doing really good with the Lord, but there might be some areas that need resurrecting. There might, maybe it's your Bible reading. Maybe it's your prayer time. What is it that's relaxed? What is it that's fallen asleep? Maybe it needs to be resurrected. So just because you're doing great in one area of your Christian life, you know, the Bible says that we should be found in all the will of God. Not just some, all of it. So examine yourself as we go through these. You know, I was absolutely a gaseous Christian when I was able to eat pasta, and you know, but no. But I had a time when I was running from the Lord. I would go to church, but I would also run with my friends. And they didn't really know that I was a Christian. And, you know, that was fine for Sunday, but I surely wasn't going to invite them in here. I wouldn't have invited them to the church. I wouldn't have wanted them to see me in that container, in that state. And I wouldn't invite them in. Well, I remember God says, I'm going to expose you to your friends. I'm going to do it. If you don't do it, I'm going to do it. And when I do it, it's not going to be as fun. And I got my friends together and we went out to Manhattan Beach to go visit my brother. And we went out partying and drinking. And we were out there, you know, from like 4 o'clock in the afternoon until the wee hours of the morning. But about midway through that night, some teenage boy walked up to me in the bar in California. And he was eating dinner on the other side. And he came over to the bar area. I don't know why this teenage boy walked over into the bar area. And he walked up to me. Why didn't he walk up to somebody else? I was having fun. And he walks up to me and says, sir, can I please share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you? Good thing my friends weren't looking. That was totally incognito. I remained invisible. And I said, no, thank you. And turned around, went back to the bar, continued my partying, totally asking myself, Lord, what was that all about? Why is that teenage boy even in a bar, number one? Why would he come up to me? The next morning, we're going, you're going to start again. Come on, guys, hair of the dog, let's go out again. Let's go. 8 o'clock in the morning, we're up, we're grabbing some beers, we're going out to Redondo Beach, we're going out on the pier, walk out on the pier and drinking beers. Boy, isn't this great, sun's out, surf's up, no clouds in the sky. Boy, it's just gorgeous, just having the time of our lives. And we turn around, we walk back off the pier, and I'm the first one. My buddies are behind me. And I come to the end of the pier, and there's this little old lady sitting in a wheelchair. And she looks me right in the eye. There were a bunch of people on that pier. Why me? She says, sir, can I please share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you? And all of my buddies were behind me. I broke. Now all my buddies are looking at each other and looking at me. What in the world? What's the matter with him? What's he crying about? God had gotten it my attention. God had taken the cover off and revealed to my friends what I really was. You know, I shamed my Lord because I didn't want to be known. I didn't want to be found out. I wanted to live in both worlds. Conveniently. And God said, I'm going to take the cover off. Be sure you know, Paul, your sin will find you out. I didn't want to be a gaseous Christian. I don't want to be a gaseous Christian. Any of us can fall back into that state. The second one, we're going to look at the liquid Christian. He's the simple. He's the simple man. And the properties of liquids. Number one, they take the shape of its container. Pour it in a square container, the liquid is square. Pour it in a triangular container, it's triangular. Pour it in a circular container, it's circular. It takes the shape of its container. So in church, they can be one way. In the office, they can be another way. At home, with the family, they can be another way. With friends, they can be another way. They take the shape of their container. Kind of like a chameleon. They can change colors and change shape in order to disguise themselves. They're one way at church, one way at home, one way at work, one way with friends. Would you want some of your friends, like I said, to know that you are a Christian? Are we bold with our gospel? Are we bold with the truth? Do we give it out? Like I was talking about last night. Those that were filled with the Spirit, they were bold, they were unified, and they were sacrificial. Are we bold with the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know, we came out of our hotel today, and somebody appreciated your truck and all the bumper stickers on it, and they left me a scripture verse on the underneath the windshield. But, you know, being bold with the gospel. Your cars are filled with gospel signs. That's wonderful. That's a blessing. You know, some people have a problem with that. Romans chapter 12. Turn there with me if you would. Romans chapter 12. And verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Be not conformed to this world. This world wants to put you in its container. This world wants you to take the shape of itself, not the shape of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. That's three different wills. Now, I don't know why we always, you know, take the acceptable or take the good and we stop shooting for the perfect. The good, the acceptable, and the perfect. That means there's a difference between them. It's called the gap theory. Amen? And there's a difference between good and perfect. And just like when you go shooting bow and arrow, you always aim for that outer ring, don't you? You normally aim for the bullseye, except when it comes to things of the Lord. We're okay with the good. We're okay with the acceptable. You know, but man, shooting for that perfect, that's a bit much. But the Bible says in Proverbs 14:12 that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. In his own eyes. Look over at Proverbs chapter 30 with me. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 12. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. You know, Christian, we can fall into the same boat here when we start using our own intellect, our own reasoning to try and determine if we're right or wrong with God, rather than using the Word of God, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We need to go to the Word of God to see whether or not we're right. Not look into our own eyes and our own counsel. All right? Look at Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah 5. And look at verse 21. Oh. Excuse me. Is that in the Old Testament? Verse 21. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. And that's oftentimes where the gaseous and the liquid Christian find themselves. measuring themselves by themselves, or measuring themselves by the world, or measuring themselves by others, or measuring themselves by what they used to be or where they used to be, but not measuring themselves against the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible tells us to look unto Jesus. We don't need to be looking in the mirror. The only time you need to look in the mirror is when you're telling that guy to drop dead. That's when you need to look in the mirror. But we should be the same shape at church, at work, at home, or in the world. Now, the purpose-driven church won't do that. The purpose-driven church changed the container. Rather than changing the person, they changed the container so that the person felt more comfortable in that container. So we'll bring in the worldly music. We'll bring in the worldly clothing. We'll bring in the happy text preaching. We're going to make the container more comfortable for the people rather than conforming them into the image of Jesus Christ by the Word of God. They change the container, become more comfortable. Don't tell me that changing the container will increase our chances of winning people to Christ. You know, they've tried it with, 40 days of purpose and, all the different things, all their different gimmicks and the power team. They would bring the power team in. Who's the power team? You're the power team. Going out to the highways and hedges, street preaching, giving out the gospel. You're the power team. You don't need a bunch of lugs up here deadlifting 500 pounds and bring in some crowd. You know, how you win them is how you're going to keep them. And if you're winning them through gimmicks and gags, then that's how you're going to have to keep them. They want to be amused. They don't want to be taught. They don't want to be conformed. They don't want to grow up. They want to be amused. They want to be entertained. Thank God your church doesn't rely on all that garbage. Uses good music, uses good preaching, uses good people. Praise God for it. I've been in Tennessee for 32 years. It's known as the buckle of the Bible Belt. Nashville, Tennessee. Supposed to be the buckle of the Bible Belt. In 32 years, I have never been witness to one time. 32 years. Not a gospel tract. No one's ever asked me if I was saved. No one's invited me to their church. 32 years. And you've got churches there with 20,000 members. Gaseous? Liquid? Definitely not solid. You know, the verse I was trying to think of last night. 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I needed somebody to help me. Really, that was a quiz. That wasn't. But denying the power thereof. There's no power in that. There's no power in that whatsoever. And like I said the other night, you'll never see any of them out on a street corner. You'll never see them out handing out the gospel. And you know, why go to church if you're not going to change? What's the purpose in going to church if you're not growing? I mean, it's in vain. If you're just stay at home and watch a movie on TV. If that's all you want to do is be entertained, stay home, watch a movie. If you have no interest in growing, no interest in the Word of God, no interest in walking like Christ, no interest in pleasing Him, which is why you were created, why come? Yeah. 32 years, and nobody's ever witnessed to me. All right, let's look at another characteristic of the liquid. It travels the path of least resistance. What is right is not always popular, and what is popular is not always right. Rather than a face-to-face confrontation, the liquid Christian would rather just send a text. It's easier. Rather than handing someone a tract, they'd rather just leave it on the table. No confrontation. The liquid Christian will take the path of least resistance. Credit cards, welfare, handouts, Why not just try working? I mean, it's been working for years. I mean, you know. And that's how you can cure. You know, you can cure all this homeless stuff and people just begging for. All you got to do is not feed them. I'm serious. It won't take long. Don't feed them. They will work. But that's not what our society says. You know, I think about those that did the hard thing. Not the least resistance. I'm talking about the most resistance. I think about Eutychus in Acts chapter 20. That little boy that we always preach that fell asleep in church and fell out of the third loft. Do you know what that little guy endured? That little guy endured coming into a room that was filled with the disciples, filled with adults, and he was just a young man, and he went up into that loft, up into the third loft, where they had the air conditioning running, don't you worry. But all those oil lamps and whatever they were using to light that place, guess what happens with heat? It rises. That room was hot. There was nowhere to sit. Why do you think he was sitting in a window? There was nowhere to sit. It was standing room only. And with all those bodies, how hot do you think it was in there? And Paul was long at preaching. Long at preaching. Till midnight. And that young boy was sitting there in that window. It doesn't say he was with his buddies. It doesn't say there were a bunch of other young men there. Just this young man, Eutychus, sitting in a window. He had so much desire to hear the Apostle Paul preach. He went up into a place where there was no room at all. All I could do was sit in a window where it was hot, where it was late, where it was long. It says Paul was long at preaching. And he sat there and endured that to the point where he probably didn't have dinner. And then he fell. And it doesn't say he fell inside. He could have very well fallen outside because it says it killed him. How far would you go to hear preaching? How much would you endure to hear preaching? And even the Apostle Paul, what a great example. He's preaching till midnight, and it says he's getting ready to depart on the morrow. He's getting ready to take a long trip, and he's preaching till midnight. Then this guy dies. How dare you die in the middle of my message? Paul goes down and falls on him. He revives, comes back to life, and then they sit there till morning talking. And Paul's got to depart on the morrow. Never went to bed. How much do you endure in order to hear the preaching of God's word? I wonder if I would have done that. I don't know. Brother Dave was sharing in his, you know, his ministry and going over to Africa and what they go through and all the rest. And my wife and I are sitting there asking ourselves, I wonder what we would do. Would we enjoy that? And I said, of course we would, sweetheart. Of course we would. So, Eutychus, what an example he was. You know, and that's why Calvinism has come around. Why is Calvinism so popular now? Because it requires less of you. It takes the path of least resistance. The particles are less dense than a solid. More contact with each other maybe than the gas, but not enough with the Lord himself. Not enough with the Lord. Churches today are trying to build their churches on everything other than preaching. So I went and I was having coffee. Fancy that. I was in a coffee shop. And I was enjoying a cup of coffee, and this guy sitting next to me saw that I had my Bible open. I was reading my Bible. He goes, are you a Christian? I said, yes, I pastor New Beginnings Baptist Church in White House. And we got to talking. He says, oh, I go to Belmont Baptist. It's 20,000 people there, okay? 20,000. I said, well, so tell me, how is Belmont Baptist these days? Awesome. Everything's awesome, you know? Awesome. I said, so what's so awesome? Oh, the drummer. The drummer is insane. You should hear that drummer. I mean, the band, it is the best music in town, bar none. So I just asked him, I said, how's the preaching? He goes, well, we're working on that. 20,000 members going to a place where they're working on the preaching. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 20-minute messages, you know, I don't get it. But you could fill up this place. You know, I could fill up a church. You want me to fill a church? I can fill a church. All I have to do is compromise. I'm going to pastor a new church entitled Christian Brotherhood of Fellowship and Agape Love Campus. I guarantee you I'll fill it. And I'm playing the drums. Amen. Turn your Bible to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And in verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. It says they immediately receive it, and they are immediately offended. That's because liquids move faster than solids or gases. They're in and out quickly. In and out quickly. Very quickly offended. You know, when a Christian is immediately offended, the Bible says they have no root. They have no root. You know, I love to see when the storms come through, these giant storms, hurricanes and tornadoes and all the rest, especially when they happen on the coast, you know, and then afterwards you see buildings toppled over, roofs come off, cars and semis, tractor trailers tipped over, but yet there's those trees that are still standing. Those palm trees that are skinny little things like this, and they're flexible, and they can take it. They don't get offended easily, and they just bend with the wind. You know, Christian, it's not, I was sharing earlier about a brother that got offended with me, and I go to that brother and try and make things right. I flew out to see him, try and make things right. Would have nothing to do with it. And what a shame that is. What a shame that is. I do believe that the thing that's killing the Christian movement more than any other thing is unthankfulness and unforgiveness. Those two things right there. And it's a shame. It's a real shame. Well, how about you? The pastor that God led you to, does he now offend you? Has he offended you? God led you here. You believe God led you here. And he teaches you every week. Has he caused an offense to you? He doesn't recognize you enough, doesn't call your name enough? I mean, don't be thin-skinned, Christian. Don't be thin-skinned. Be tough. You know, be like those palm trees that stay standing after the storm because they flex. They can take it. Remember how boxers, what do boxers say when they're in a fight? They roll with the punches so that the blow doesn't hurt so bad. They roll with the punches. And that's what we need to do as Christians, not take it so offensively. You know, people, we're all the same. You know, I say to my wife, I said, this person that and that person this and this. But then again, I wonder what they think about me. You know, if I have opinions of others, guess what? Others have opinions of me. Best I just keep it to myself. And lastly, let's look at the solid Christian. And we'll see if the shoe fits. The properties of the solids. This is the wise son, right? The first one was the foolish son. The gas was the foolish son. The liquid was the simple son. And the solid is the wise son. They have a definite shape. They have a definite shape. There's no confusion as to what they are or who they are. They're the same in all environments. You can blow on it all you want, you're not going to change its shape. I can't spill it on the ground and it then flows to where it wants to. Oh no, you can drop it and it's going to keep its shape even on the ground. It's a solid. Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians 15 with me. First Corinthians 15, and in verse 58, a verse we all know very well, one of my life verses, because I was born October 15th, 1958, so it's for me, God gave this to me, and he said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." A solid Christian should look like the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of the environment they are in. They will not take the shape of their container. They retain their own shape, regardless of the container they're in. Is that your testimony? Are you solid? Are you the same at work, the same at home, the same at church? Are you the same with family and friends as you are with the brethren? Husbands, do you treat your wife the same way? Do you talk to your wife the same way you would talk to her if you were in church? Ladies, do you obey your husbands at home the same way you would obey your husband if you were in church and he asked you to do something and the pastor was standing right there? Are we the same in regardless of the container that we're in? Acts chapter 4, I'll read it for you. In verse 13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Oh boy, that's a testimony right there. They have been with Jesus. Can people look at you in your current state and say, that person's been with Jesus? That person's been with Jesus. Yeah. Bartholomew was skinned alive. Peter was crucified upside down. Andrew was boiled in oil. Yet all of them maintained their shape. Second property of a solid, they can be reshaped by an external force and then retain the new shape. Soft solids like Play-Doh can be formed by applying pressure. Now, this is a good thing provided the hands of the potter are good. Romans 8:29 tells us, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." And Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Once formed and solidified, they are the most difficult to compress, the most difficult to elongate, the most difficult to twist, the most difficult to bend. Yes, they want to retain their shape. They submit themselves to the hands of the potter. Are you willing to be a living sacrifice and submit yourself under the hand of the potter? And point number three on a solid, they have a definite volume. You know exactly what they can hold. You know exactly what they can hold. You want to know the volume of a cube? You measure the length times the width times the height. Those three dimensions together gives you the volume of that cube. You know exactly what they can hold. And the Lord knows exactly what you can hold. And you're willing to hold it for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what they can hold and also what they can handle. Gases can't hold anything and liquids can't hold anything. We'll not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, because his grace is sufficient. But the Lord does expect the aged Christian, the more mature solids, to be able to hold more than the younger. He expects your volume to be bigger. As the older you get in the Lord, the more you should be able to hold. The more you should be able to carry. It's true. He wouldn't expect someone just saved last week to carry as much as the pastor. So are you growing? Has your container enlarged? Are you able to hold more today than you were a year ago? Do you think you've grown? Or has your container shrunk? You know, suffering is part of this life. I think you know that. You know, the Bible talks about afflictions and that we all go through hard times. We all go through afflictions. But I did a message once about suffering, and I spelled it out, S-U-F-F-E-R-I-N-G. And I found verses for each and every one of these. The S stood for establish, strengthen, and settle you. Is that a good thing? That's a good thing. The U stood for being unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is that a good thing? That's a good thing. One of the F's was for the furtherance of the gospel. Was that a good thing? That's a good thing. The other F was for the furtherance of the gospel. Is that a good thing? That's a good thing. E is an example to others. Is that a good thing? Oh, that's a good thing. R is for rejoicing. Is that a good thing? Yeah, that's a good thing. I is for the instruction in righteousness. Is that a good thing? Brother Dave, is that a good thing? Okay. I told him I was going to get him tonight. He got me at dinner. N is for no fear of man. Is that a good thing? That's a good thing. And G is for the glory of God. Is that a good thing? That's a good thing. So how much would you like? See, Paul had no problem going through afflictions. S-U-F-F-E-R-I-N-G did not matter to him. He said, this is my container, Lord. You know, whatever you'd have me to do. He was whipped 39 times, five different times. Shipwrecked, imprisoned, left for dead, stoned, left in the deep. You saw what Paul went through. Did you ever hear him complain? I never heard him complain. He says, Lord, fill me up. What can I do for you, Lord? Amen. What can I do for you? Remember in Acts chapter 5 when the disciples were beaten and they went away rejoicing and leaping that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name? Wow. How much are you willing to hold for him? Lord, would you increase the size of my container so that I could hold more for you? Solids, liquids, and gases. And the fourth point on the solid is they have the greatest density. Their molecules are the closest knit together. Knit together in love. Knit together. And that's what God has done when he puts a church together and brings his people together. He wants us to be knit together. Together for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you were not here on any given Sunday, would it produce questions amongst the brethren? What is your standard operating procedure? That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. But the last thing I want to point out between these three is there are some forms of matter that can change state, such as an ice cube. An ice cube, water, can be a solid, it can be a liquid, and it can be a gas. And usually what takes it from being a solid to changing state either to a liquid or to a gas? Heat. And when we lose our stinking cool and our tongue is set on fire from hell, we can quickly go from being the solid Christian we are to the simple or the fool. And that's something we need to ask the Lord to help us with. To keep our tongues, to keep our tempers. The Bible says, be angry, but sin not. Yeah, there's things you should be angry at, but you don't have to sin just because you're angry. And we allow we get heated up. And that's when we can do things and say things that we regret later. And that changes us from being the solid that the Lord would have us to be either a liquid or a gas. You know, Christian, if you want to get closer one to another, it's not done like this. It's done like this. With the increase of God. The Bible says in Colossians that the increase comes from the increase of God. So the closer you get to God, the closer you get to each other. And that's what we need to become the solids that the Lord would have us to be. Turn to Psalm chapter 19. We'll just look at two verses and we'll be done. Psalm chapter 19. And in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The simple can be made wise. That liquid can be made into a solid. Yes, the Bible says it right there, converting the soul. God can change you. God can change you. You know, even the Bible says in Timothy that even a dishonorable vessel, if he'll purge himself from these, he can become a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. You can, a dishonorable vessel can become honorable just by following the word of God. Here it says the simple can be made wise. How? Just by following the word of God. Let a man examine himself. Consider thy ways. Prove thine own selves. You don't want to be a gaseous Christian, invisible, free to travel, no definite shape, and the least dense of all. You don't want to be a liquid Christian that takes the shape of its container, travels the path of least resistance, and is still less dense than a solid. But you want to be a solid Christian that has a definite shape, is moldable, a definite volume with the greatest amount of density. That's what you want to be. Come together, labor together, join together, strive together, comforted together, help together, builded together, knit together, quickened together, glorified together. Together, 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 together. Knit together. Most dense of all. Last verse, Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, look at verse 6 with me. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm. Does that sound like a gas? No. Does it sound like a liquid? No. How about a solid? Firm unto the end. I know you're standing. If you're saved here tonight, your standing with the Lord is fantastic. You're saved to the uttermost. But what's your current state? And whatever your state is today, there's no guarantee that'll be your state tomorrow. Maybe a little time with the Lord, asking Him, God, here's what I want. I want to stay, I want to be solid. If I'm not solid, make me solid. Lead me in the way where I can become solid for you. Where no matter where I go, no matter what container I'm in, people know what I am and who I am. What I stand for. Help me to be an influence. I want people to look at me and say, that man's been with Christ. And I don't want to lose that, Lord. And would you increase my container so that I'd be able to hold more for you? Unto the end. Unto the end. Preacher?